If in a person's home, and if a person's house, if there's proper preparation, organization, if there's a nice washing machine and a nice iron press, then what should happen is that whenever that individual leaves home, then that person's clothes should visibly seem clean and pure. There should be nice and pure, clean, no stains visible, no dirt, and nicely ironed and pressed without any creases. If a person's clothes are dirty, he puts the clothes into the machine, they are washed clean, then you have an iron at home, you iron the clothes, press them, no creases, so the clothes of that person, the attire of that person will not look dirty or untidy. Yes, if a person's got all of the preparation and the resources, and even then the person's clothes look dirty and they're creased and look untidy, then you could say that this individual is lazy and not doing the proper upkeeping of his clothing. He's got everything at home, and despite that, he's not utilizing the resources due to laziness or neglect, and his clothes are dirty and untidy. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, through this example, Allah ta'ala is explaining us to us. Allah has given us His fadl and karam via the sadaqah of His Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, His Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah ta'ala has given us the preparation the whole year long, that with tartib, with methodology, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us such months and such days. Allah ta'ala gives to us such opportunities that the most sinful of persons can reach to the highest stage of Jannah. And today we will do the same. And there will be a surprise on the ummah that Allah and will ask, and for example, no man or woman should be going towards Jahannam, where Allah ta'ala prepared for us all of the resources for us to get forgiveness, to get salvation, to get success in this world. If we see that 2 months have passed, Ramadan just passed, isn't it? And look at the rahmah, the mercies and the rewards of Allah, the bakhshish, the forgiveness and all the ibadat that Allah ta'ala gave to us, the worship actions. Tell me that after Ramadan, after the fasting month passed, is there anybody on whose body any sin was left? Yes, apart from the most unfortunate and loser individual, which the hadith said that he is so unfortunate that despite having such the great name of Ramadan, that they didn't change or improve their lives. Allah's rahmah, mercy wants that not one person of this ummah should go into Jahannam. Not one individual of this ummah should go into hellfire. Tell me. So, how Allah gave us the nights in Ramadan, the days, 30 days, do tawbah, repent, ask for forgiveness. Allah says, come to me, I forgive you, and forget your sins. And Allah says, I'll give you so many opportunities. 700,000. No, more than that. Allah says 30 days and nights. You get so much opportunity. And then look at Allah Ta'ala's mercy beyond that. Only some days have passed since then. 2 months have passed. And then Allah Ta'ala has given us to again a great bounty. That maybe from amongst these people, those who are disrespectful, who did not avail the opportunity of Ramadan, who did not take advantage, maybe they'll have aql and they will have understanding. And the next opportunity after some months, Allah has given us such an azeem opportunity again now, these great days that are about to come. The Allah Ta'ala says that you have an opportunity. For example, the example we said in the beginning, those who have the washing machine at home, their clothes should be clean and pure, not dirty, but those who are disrespectful don't appreciate. So Allah Ta'ala has prepared that no person in the ummah should be dirty, and there should be nobody left who has not washed away his sins. Now after 2 days, what a great, great clamor to come. What a great rejoicing to come. Allah's rahmah and mercy and Allah's fadl, His blessings and mercies. What will come that we cannot imagine in the days that are about to come. That today I think is the 27th of Dhul Qadah, 28th tomorrow, then 29th. And maybe the moon will be visible of the new month of Dhul Hajj. Of Dhul Hajj. And such a great, great month to come. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has stated about these days that Dhul Hijjah, the great month of Dhul Hijjah, is about to start. What did Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tell us? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's great rewards. And it's not just for the hajjis. Not just for those who have gone to hajj that they will get the reward. No, this is for the whole ummah. Allah said, I've opened the doors of forgiveness for you. If you do hajj or if you don't do hajj. Same. Same reward. Same opportunity. There's a hadith. As a Jabir radiyallahu anhu, may Allah be pleased him, narrates this hadith. And the pious predecessors have narrated this hadith and commented on it. That Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stated that in the days of the world, that all the days in the year Yeah, from amongst the days of the year, the greatest days are the first ten days of Dhul Hijjah. Subhanallah. Subhanallah. What a great karam and mercy that Allah gives us health and iman and gives us these days. These first 10 days of Dhul Hijjah. That we should not spare any moment to be grateful to Allah and thankful. Maybe Allah Ta'ala will remove us from the dunya before that we could pass away. But okay, if we were lazy in Ramadan and then we sinned during Ramadan and we didn't do right after that, but Allah's rahmah comes again, that maybe we'll have aql and understanding and they'll do tawbah in this time to come. So Allah says, all the days that came in Ramadan, Allah Ta'ala's will, that we've passed through Ramadan, and after that, all of the days in the year, the greatest days of the year, are these first 10 days of Dhul Hijjah, compared to Ramadan. So if Allah is saying that these are the greatest 10 days, then there must be something in these 10 days. There must be something contained within these 10 days that Allah has given us this reward. Then there's another hadith, bit more description with regards to this time, that how great will these days be? What will be attained? It is stated in the hadith that in these first 10 days of Dhul Hijjah, whichever individual does any ibadah, any worship action, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, his ibadah, his good deed, will be so beloved to Allah that in no other day can there be any deeds more beloved to Allah than these first 10 days of Dhul Hijjah. So beloved to Allah, and take the whole year to one side, but the first 10 days of Dhul Hijjah, if anyone does any worship action, ibadah, or good deed, Allah says that that deed or those deeds will be most beloved to me in these first 10 days of Dhul Hijjah. Subhanallah. What a great point. What a great piece of news for us. Good deed. You could do sadaqah, give some money in charity, you could be reciting Quran, you could be doing dhikr Allah, you could be doing tabligh, propagating Islam. These are all good deeds, nek actions. You could be praying nawafil salah, praying salah, voluntary salah. You could be doing tasbih. Allah Ta'ala has put mounds, stacks, so many examples. Even the smallest of good deeds in these 10 days of Dhul Hijjah, Allah says that there's no other beloved thing in my sight than the good deed in the first 10 days of Dhul Hajj. Now, if a person does a good deed in this time, and he says that all of the deeds I'm doing, then these 10 days, totally, 100%, my libas, attire, my appearance is going to be according to the sunnah. Say, Subhanallah, Subhanallah. Glory be to Allah. So in normal times, in normal days, to practice one sunnah, the reward is 100 shaheed, Subhanallah. In these 10 days, if a person controls himself, and every small so-called sunnah action he implements, then imagine the thawab, the reward earned by that person. Now the situation is that person who wants to forgive him, get himself forgiven, he's the one who's going to run after the good action. Allah's given an open playing field. Person who appreciates, death is going to come, hereafter is going to come, he knows he's going to die, she knows she's got yaqeen, that I have recited the kalima, I'm a Muslim, I'm a believer. Then for that person, iman and Islam is a massive asset. If it's a person who's thirsty, and he's severely thirsty, and a person's told that just 2 feet away from you there's a tap of water. Subhanallah, where's the tap? Not just a tap, it's a cooler, a water cooler. Not just cool water, it's sherbet. It's a nice drink, squash. Then imagine the happiness from that thirsty person's face you will see. The first person has yaqeen that we're going to go and see Allah in the hereafter, and sins are attached to us, super glued to us. And the sins, and today then we are doing a bargain transaction. Allah Ta'ala says, either go to the hereafter with your sins and go to the depths of Jahannam and get the punishments and the fire and every sin that's attached to us. If we start counting the sins, then imagine the adab. Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has told every sin and what is the punishment in Jahannam. This is how a person will be punished. He'll be in this maqam. This will be the form and the figure of his adab, his punishment. And this will be happening to this man and this woman for this deed. Everything's been described. Every sin that's attached to our bodies at the moment. So if we do the right thing, Allah Ta'ala won't just forgive those sins, but Allah says that your deeds will become beloved to me in these 10 days. So the question arises here now. There's a unique point that comes out here. Allah Ta'ala said that the actions, they will be beloved to me. Any good deed will be beloved to me in these first 10 days of Dhul Hijjah. So if a deed will become beloved to Allah, then that individual himself will become beloved to Allah, obviously, isn't it? Allah Ta'ala says, if your deeds are beloved to me, then of you, obviously you as a human being will be beloved to me. So how that person then changes and improves and becomes beloved to Allah has given us these 10 days, the first 10 days of Dhul Hijjah. Allah says, then your ibadah you perform in those first 10 days is beloved to me. That means then you are beloved to me. And Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that what will be the thawab then in those first 10 days? The reward. It is stated the reward in the first 10 days of Dhul Hijjah is that any individual who keeps fast in the first 10 days of Dhul Hijjah, Allah give us tawfiq, we are all weak and fragile. Let's hope that we don't have diabetes, blood pressure, or illness. There are people who are like this, maybe, who don't take medicines and drugs. They should be grateful to Allah that Allah, I have an opportunity. And for those individuals, they should keep all 10 days of fast. Say Subhanallah. Subhanallah. Those poor souls who are sick or ill, not well, and that time for them has passed. But this is such an ibadah that those who eat and drink and they are, mashallah, healthy brothers and sisters, and their mouth keeps moving, their teeth keep chewing, and the stomach keeps digesting. Any individual, if he keeps one fast from amongst the 10 days of Dhul Hijjah, it is stated that the reward for that one fast is as if you've kept fast for the whole year. The whole year. Subhanallah. So these first 10 days, if we keep the fast, tell me what a great thawab that person will attain. 30 years of how many years of fasting reward? And those who are healthy, they should be grateful to Allah. They should be, if you're not fasting due to hunger or laziness or neglect, no, this should not be the case. Allah has given us courage, bravery. Every man and woman who's healthy, who is good health, then tire not over the action. You're getting the 1 year's reward for the 1 day's fast. Imagine and accept it. Not that there's any doubt in this. You haven't even broken the fast, but the stamp of approval has come. At that same time, 1 year of fasting reward for 1 day's fast. Then the next day you fast, then Allah Ta'ala will give the same reward with the fadl of Allah, with the karam of Allah. 1 year's of fasting for the one fast, 1 day's fast reward. Another hadith I'd like to share with you, the greatness of the first 10 days of Dhul Hijjah. In this hadith, it has been stated that Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said that this night, in these 10 days of Dhul Hijjah, in these 10 days, first 10 days, in the nights, then do not blow out the lights. Yes, what a beautiful point. Yes, what does this mean? The lights, we say lights, isn't it? That don't dim the lights, don't go into darkness. What this means, the message is that stay awake and do the ibadah of Allah. Remember, Allah has given you an open lottery. Ni'mah, these are not nights for sleeping. And don't leave the opportunity to remember Allah in these nights. You will attain so much if you don't sleep in these nights. We sleep all year long, we snore all year long. Have a bit of determination and courage. Pull yourself together. Stay awake in these nights in the first 10 days of Dhul Hijjah. What reward, imagine. It's stated that a person who does ibadah in the first 10 days of Dhul Hijjah during the night time, person who will do ibadah during the night time in the first 10 days of Dhul Hijjah, is stated on every night the thawab, he will get the reward equivalent to Laylatul Qadr. Inna anzalnahu fi Laylatul Qadr. Laylatul Qadr. And what is the rule for Laylatul Qadr? Just imagine what we did for Laylatul Qadr. Go back to Ramadan. Amount we tried and attempted the du'as and the gatherings, majmas, and Allah didn't tell us when is Laylatul Qadr. We didn't know if it's 21st, 23rd, the odd nights of Ramadan, the last 10 days. We tried, we sought, we looked for it. We don't know if we got it or not. But hey, Allah says, I give it to you guaranteed. On every night in the first 10 days, you don't need to look for it, find it, end of story. Just do ibadah to me with the fadl of Allah says, in the night, in the first 10 days of the night, and you will get the reward of Laylatul Qadr. Subhanallah. Another hadith I'd like to share with you. Another hadith. That a person who will do ibadah in the night, Allah, thawab, on the side of this is how the lottery of Allah Ta'ala unravels, and how Allah Ta'ala gives forgiveness to those people who look for Allah Ta'ala's ni'mah. And then if we don't get bakhshish, the ummah, then this is really sad. Really sad. That if there's a market all night long, then we'd stay awake, I swear. All of us would stay awake, open our shops and businesses. Oh, these 3 nights, all night long, the market will be open. Put your stalls here, set your stalls up, and the sale that you'll do will be £5,000 or £6,000 per night. Nobody will be sitting here. Oh, it's just one night, we'll keep on drinking tea, talking rubbish, but we'll stay awake to get that £5,000 or £6,000 sale. Turnover. Okay, 3 days, it's only 3 days. I'll make 5,000 per night, 15, 16, 18,000 for the 3 nights. We'll be so happy. Oh, the day's about to come. In advance, we'll be happy. The 3 nights are about to come, and you get 5,000 turnover per night. Recommended, guaranteed. There'll be nobody from amongst us who'll complain, I'm feeling sleepy, I don't want to stay up. Rather, the complaint will be that why am I feeling sleepy? Get rid of the sleepiness, and we'll put splashes of water on our faces, drink coffee, drink tea, stay awake. It's time to earn, it's time to earn. But is that earning? Is that earning? Is that any earning? That 5-10,000 you earn, I've seen in the world, I've seen events. You put the money in your pockets, then after that the pocket slit and the 5,000 is disappeared. Does it not fall out? The thief pickpockets the burglar and it's gone. It's gone. Oh Allah, may Allah forgive us. Or we get such children, such a son is given, that he earns and then he smokes cannabis, weed. smokes drugs or distributes to women. Father earns and comes home, and the children are like gangsters. So where's the money gone? Where's the money gone? So this is also punishment from Allah, isn't it? That those who are disobedient to Allah, Allah gives them, Allah Ta'ala gives such children in their homes that they have no link with the deen, and they get shocks. No, their father earns and we will erode the money. Father earns and we will evaporate that money. We are going to spend his money and spoil it and make it wretched. And he will have desire for cars and games and going out and clothes and watches and passions and desires. And father, he lies and works hard and deceives people and brings the money home, and the children, they waste the money. Is this not in the dunya today, my friends? Tell me. And these are punishments from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These are punishments on the ummah. Why? What is the punishment for? That these earning I'm giving to you for the hereafter. For us, this has no appreciation. 10 days, sit at home in your rooms. You're allowed to drink tea, drink coffee. You're allowed to eat. And you can do ibadah, whatever you feel. You can rest for a while and then do ibadah again. But we don't like this style. We don't want this lifestyle. We prefer to stay all day and night awake in the cold, in the market stalls, and we'll be enveloped by sleep, and sleep will overcome us. It'll be cold and windy, and rain will be gusting down. We'll be stood there, 5,000 is going to come. Allah Ta'ala won't like this. Because why will Allah be unhappy and angry? Why is Allah displeased? This is that human being that he doesn't have iman and yaqeen, conviction. Iman is yaqeen, certainty. Why Allah Ta'ala tells us we should have yaqeen in this? That this individual doesn't have yaqeen in me, Allah says. If he had yaqeen, then this person and would not do the wrong actions. He would run to the asal. He would run to the genuine reward of thereafter. And iman and yaqeen shows us this. That if we leave some action of the akhirah, and we prefer the work of the dunya, and we run after the dunya, what does it show? That this person is a liar. He's false. He's a munafiq. He's a hypocrite. He doesn't have iman inside him. He says that he has yaqeen in maut and death is going to come. He says he believes in Allah, but he doesn't accept. He says that he believes in everything about Islam, but he doesn't have yaqeen. If a person has yaqeen, that punishment will come in the hereafter. I'll go to Jahannam like this, and I'm getting a one good deed opportunity, will forgive me, then he will not leave that good deed. Will he leave that good deed? Tell me that we don't have yaqeen. Why don't we accept our mistakes? And yaqeen, the biggest punishment of not having yaqeen, Allah will make us mushriks. We'll go into our graves like mushriks, and we'll be stood there like those who committed shirk. Allah will say, you are mushrik, you did shirk all your life long, you worship your nafs as your god, you worship shaitan, you didn't listen to me, Allah says. Will say that I put the Quran as whole advice to you. Every line of the Quran, it's like it's reminding us, pulling us together. What's happened to you? Why don't you have yaqeen in Allah? Allah's given an example of Lut and of Saleh alayhi salam, of Yunus alayhi salam, of different Nabis, of different prophets and their qawms. The whole Quran is examples so that we may learn. And we just read it and we say, tuck, we close the kitab and we carry on with our bad ways. So what does this show? That Allah Ta'ala says, that means you don't have yaqeen in me. You don't have belief in my words, because if Allah Ta'ala has told us something, divine something, that's it. End of story, that's a fact. Do you understand? That for example, if you have a link with a sheikh, and if your sheikh says, don't do this, then does the murid do amal on this? Because the murid should do amal, because he has yaqeen on what the sheikh says. A person who doesn't do amal on the sheikh's words, then he doesn't get faith. He doesn't get blessings. This is the asool, the principle of the sawaf, that the student who doesn't obey that, for example, I would say, do tazkiyah. Those who don't do tazkiyah, they have no link with this silsala. I tell you this clearly. Not that woman, nor that man. Totally, they have no link. The fairs will close. And they've just left the silsila. Sheikh has given a tariqah, and Allah is happy with that person. Allah has given a hukam, instruction that every person should do tazkiyah who has a link with this silsila. And those who have yaqeen and certainty in this, then they will get the benefit. And those who have not started this, or for example, bodily, physically, they haven't gone to this. No. I tell you clearly now, then they have no link with this silsila. They have cut off from this silsila. One word to disobey. I'm telling you Hazrat's statement, the rabta sheikh. If there's one thing less in your rabta with your sheikh connection, I'm telling you the statement of the walis of Allah. Yes, we accept or not. This is not a game. This is the destination to the hereafter, the trip to the hereafter. This is the soul of the person who's pure and sincere for the hereafter and does the actions for Allah's sake. This is not empty box that we say we are murids and students and we disobey the guidance and instruction of the... Whoever comes to the silsala of tazkiyah, those who join to the path of the tasawwuf, then they have got the route to the hereafter, and their trying is great, their ibadah is great, their worship is great, their link with the teacher is great, if they're sincere and do it correctly, because they're going to a high destination, a high end point. Just like a person, for example, he takes admission into a small college. Yes, and after that, he wants to get entrance into a bigger college, a highly rated institution, into a university. One is a high class university, Oxford, Cambridge, he goes to. Look at the difference. Though he's a graduate from Cambridge. Oxford, and his style changes, his effort changes, his status in the world changes, and everyone's applying for a job, and the applications will go in. They'll see which university he graduated from, and the Oxbridge students, Oxford and Cambridge, they will be considered first. The fingers will go on the application form first, won't they? Isn't this the case? So those who work hard for Allah, for the deen, they're all the same. There are lots of Muslims who have different classes, and the highest class student in the path of Allah who work hard are who? Those who are practicing the path of Ihsan. I'm not saying this, pick up the kitab. Look at Hadith of Jibreel, the respectful scholars, they have explained this to us. They've explained this to us. The highest class has been explained to us. And the highest class grade, those who have entered into the university institution of tasawwuf and tazkiyah, those who are going on the path of tazkiyah and tasawwuf, when he prays salah and he does it correctly, tazkiyah, then all of the Muslimin, their salah is good. But he prays salah as if he is seeing Allah. And this is the Sufi. This is Sufi. He has taken entrance into the high class university. Then his salah is not the same as before. The all of the struggle and the efforts and the hard work of ibadah that Muslims are doing in the world. But the salik who's on the journey to Allah, for Allah's ihsan, as if he can see Allah, he's on the path of tasawwuf tazkiyah. Everyone's working hard. But if he feels that he can't see Allah, then he has total yaqeen, at least the salik, that Allah is watching me. So he is a high class student, because he is on the high pedestal. So those who enter into this institution of tasawwuf, tazkiyah, subhanallah, alhamdulillah, that me, useless, and who has no understanding. And if I become a student of this course, and you pious brothers and individuals who are listening have entered into this institution, then how unfortunate it will be that after coming to this maqam, we fail for this reason, that we don't understand the rules and the principles of tasawwuf. The hukum is coming that we should do this action. We think it's a joke, and we take it lightly. So the hukum, the asool, the principles of tasawwuf that have been prescribed by our pious predecessors, our sheikhs and our salasil, then if we disobey the words of the sheikh by even one word, one instruction, because remember, the sheikh, when he instructs the student, is for the betterment of the student, for his tazkiyah, for his purification. He's giving you a syllabus, a course outline. If we don't implement that syllabus, then the student fails, his phase closes, and he has no link with that silsila. And he sits around, he's walking around, he's got no improvement though. Spiritually, he's disconnected and the face closes, the box closes. He can say, I'm this and that, but he has no link. That he has to do those actions, the student, the amal, on what the sheikh prescribes. The thesis, when it's finished and written in the final year, when the student is given a subject matter and he has to do a thesis on his project, then that thesis is a conclusion of all of the efforts of that student. That here's the topic for you, research on it. He researches, and professors, they take their hands away. And I'm telling you about the ilm of the dunya. The professors, the teachers, the people who overlook their student, then they leave him to his, they leave him be. He goes to the library, to others who have knowledge and skills, and he brings about his learnings and writes his thesis. And the thesis shows that how capable is the student. Now we're talking spiritual graduation. The salik in the course of this, so this came out. So what we're speaking about? Dhul Hijjah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say that I gave you deen, Islam, I gave you everything in the world. You were salik and you were in the path of tazkiyah. And that one night of staying up in the first 10 days of Dhul Hijjah, we've heard the thawab, the reward. This hadith I will explain to you. That, remember I said to you that if you do fast, you get the reward of fasting whole year. And if you do ibadah in every night of the first 10 days of Dhul Hajj, then you get the reward of Laylatul Qadr on each night. So Allah says that, do you know what is Laylatul Qadr? The night of power. It is stated, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stated, that despite this, aside from this, if a person does ibadah in the night of Dhul Hijjah, then it's as if all year long he did Hajj and Umrah. He will get the reward of Hajj and Umrah the whole year long. One night if I stay up, and broken down ibadah, if I could do it, then how much thawab will I earn? That just like, that it will be so valuable that night, as if a person, all year long, if he was doing Hajj and Umrah, this is the reward, these are the words of hadith, all year long, Allahu Akbar, if a person is doing Hajj and Umrah all year long, then for staying up one night in the first 10 days of Dhul Hijjah, if a person does ibadah in the nights of Dhul Hijjah, will get the reward of doing Hajj and Umrah all night long. There are many hadith, we have to do dhikr as well. I'll tell you an event from this hadith. This event, Hazrat Ghawthul Adam, Hazrat Abdul Qadir Jilani rahmatullah, has written, he's Ghawthul Adam, he's written about this event in his kitab. This hadith is narrated from Hazrat Aisha Sadiqa radiallahu ta'ala anha. And what is the status of Mustanad? I cannot say this, but a great pious elder has written this hadith. So there must be some effect on this hadith, yes? So he narrated this hadith, Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha, may Allah be pleased with the stated, that in our time there was an individual, and He was like, I suppose, old. He was a bit, he used to maybe do sins, listen to music and do actions, maybe sinful actions like I do. And he knew everything. He knew, but he did wrong actions. He did some sins. He didn't maybe pray Salah correctly. He did impure actions, maybe fisk actions, impure actions. So somebody came and explained to the Holy Prophet ﷺ that this person, this man, and Nabi ﷺ said, yes, what happened? And he said that he's keeping fasts. He's keeping fast, subhanAllah, and he stays up in the night and does ibadah. And Rasulullah said, call him to me. So that individual was ushered and called to the Holy Prophet. Then Allah's Nabi said, that when did you start these actions? You're keeping fasts and you're doing good actions, good ibadah. He said, Ya Rasulullah, he was afraid that, Ya Rasulullah, I see forgiveness, I'm not pious, I'm a sinful person, I'm not a good person. And he said, if I made a mistake, please forgive me. Rasulullah said, that what are you doing? What actions do you do? He said, I'll tell you the truth, Ya Rasulullah. He said, that these are the days of Dhul Hijjah. We've heard this from you, Rasulullah, that Allah's Rahmah Azeem comes down on these first 10 days of Dhul Hijjah. And Allah's Rahmah, when Allah's Rahmah rains down, then Allah sees that, is this earth, is it dirty, fertile, is it jungle? Doesn't look. Allah's rain, it falls on every piece of soil and greenery or barren land. So he said, I'm impure, I'm sinful, but what can I do? Let me grab all of these 10 days. What an opportunity. And this is a warning for us, admonishment for us, a wake up call for us, that at least let's take hold of these 10 days and grab hold of them and try our best. Whatever's happened before, we wasted our time, but maybe here we'll succeed and get something for the next year to come. So he said that, I thought that, look, I've wasted time, I've heard this hadith from you, I thought, let me pull myself together, I'll keep the fast, I'm weak, I'm empty, I'm like empty box. Okay, for a few days I'll leave my sins for the 10 days of Dhul Hajj. I won't smoke, or I won't do bad actions, I won't listen to music, I won't watch TV. If I compare to this time, I won't trim my beard, shave my beard. If Allah Ta'ala gives us tawfiq, we'll keep that beard forever after this. And I also listen him, that the more good deeds you'll do in these first 10 days, the reward in these 10 days, if a person that keeps the niyyah that I'm going to keep a beard, then his beard will become azeem beard. Allah will say that this is a beloved beard for me, subhanAllah, beloved beard. So if he keeps the beard apart from these 10 days, if the doctor says that you got eczema and then you have to keep the hairs, then you'll have to keep the beard then, won't you? If doctor says that you can't shave the beard, and for example, if you've got, if you've had a stroke and you have to let the beard grow. I've seen these examples in my life. There was a person, I'm giving you an example for taqwa. Yes, strength of iman. This is in Manchester. He had love. And he was at a high profession, high status. He would come and listen to me. And I would explain to him that your face doesn't look good. It doesn't look good. This is wajib, compulsory. And this is like fard, compulsory. Ulama are present. Ask them. It's compulsory. It's a big sin to shave the beard. And it's not that sunnah that we can leave it. No, this is wajib, wajib to keep the beard. And everyone, that those a'imma, the four mujtahideen, scholars are, is minimum. That below one fist length of a beard is not classed as a beard. Those who trim the beard from here, if you keep the beard less than one fist, you trim it, cut it, it's not a beard. He's the same fasik as if a person who shaves the beard. You have to keep the beard like this, one minimum fist length, minimum one fist length. You can cut whatever's exceeds beyond that. But it has to be minimum one fist. So he listened to me, the brother, he kept the beard, alhamdulillah, and I congratulated him, and time passed. Then shaitan came again, because people, they think it's a game. They think it's a game. Then he shaved the beard again. And that was it. That's it. Because a person can't run after another person forever. You have a link, isn't it? You do tabligh, propagate, do nasih, advice out of love, and take a person away from sin. But you can't run after a person with a stick, can you? Why don't you do this, etc.? If he doesn't do it once, he doesn't listen, then after that, if they run away back to the sins, then the wali of Allah doesn't run after the student. Okay, fine, if you don't want to practice, sin with happiness. And for example, whatever attire or appearance you come and stay in front of the sheikh, they will have no feeling of sadness. Never sadness. So if somebody comes in front of me, and 30 years, 15 years with me, and he comes and has the appearance of a monkey in front of me, I'll have no negative feeling, no negative expression of pain or nothing. No, there'll be sadness that, look at this person, he didn't understand Allah's Ta'ala's advice and direction. And fine, if he's going to leave, he's going to leave. If he's going to leave the deen, he's going to leave the deen. We can't do anything about it, can we? So what happened after that? And he was in a high profession, and he was a doctor, a big doctor, a GP, a surgeon. And what happened then after some time, I had left and I heard that he had a stroke and the face, it was twisted, he had a cancer and his jaw was twisted. And that beauty, for that beauty that he thought I'd look beautiful, Allah Ta'ala took away his beauty because he cancelled the hukum of Allah and Allah Ta'ala disfigured his face because he again shaved or trimmed the beard. So now, what will that person do? Allah Ta'ala says, now coming back to the general what we're saying, that for example, a person, he stands in front of Allah and challenges Allah. Allah says, I'm giving you hukam, I'm giving you order, and you joke with my orders. Allah says in the Quran, I give a chance to the individual. Not suddenly, Allah Ta'ala doesn't grab suddenly. Allah Ta'ala, this is Allah's style. Allah gives chances. Says, I give you so many chances that that person becomes brave on his sins. Astaghfirullah. He challenges and he digs a hole in the ground and stands firm. No one can affect me now. When he becomes firm and permanent in the sins, Allah says, then I grab that person that nobody can then save that person. Allah Ta'ala's adab, may Allah, we be safe from Allah's adab, that in our ears, when Allah's messengers are coming, Allah says, eliminate these sins, then we should eliminate those sins. We should leave those sins. So it's stated that one night the thawab, one night, what a great thawab, that the thawab reward of Hajj and Umrah, that person, he said, that I kept for this reason, that I would like also to do good deeds in these first 10 days, and Allah's rahmah came into being, and Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam announced, it wasn't just for him, but for all us sinners, so that we can also work in these 10 days. Will we do this, my brothers? Will we work hard in these 10 days? Are you listening to what I'm saying, or are you sleeping? Are you listening? Those who are listening, put your hands up. Subhanallah. That's everyone's awake, mashallah. Good. Now, so that sahabi who was practicing in the first 10 days of the Hajj for the sake of Allah Ta'ala's pleasure. So Rasulullah SAW gave the response to him, the great news. Imagine the thawab you're earning, that subhanAllah, that I was doing the deeds for forgiveness. Nabi SAW said that your one fast in these first 10 days of the Hajj, listen to the reward. Your one fast, the reward you will get is as if you have freed 100 slaves, 100 ghulams, 100 camels you sacrifice for Allah, 100 horses that you assigned for Allah's effort, for Allah's deen, you'll get the reward for that. Tell me. So my brothers, this is thawab for us or not? Reward for us or not? We are worse than him. We are much worse than him. So should we leave these 10 days? Never, ever, never. But the amount of capacity, capability we have, I've told you all the amal, alhamdulillah, the amount of capability you have, capacity, make niyyah today, intention, after 2 days, our life will change for the first 10 days of Dhul Hajj. We will reduce the sins, eliminate the sins, we'll implement the sunnah, practice the sunnah, whatever good deeds we can do, we'll accept those good deeds, implement them, improve our faces and appearances, and our style should change. And the amount we have the courage and to do good, opportunity to do good, we should embrace every good deed. And those who are healthy, who eat and drink, and they have good bodies and power and energy, and they don't use medicines or they don't eat tablets, the doctor's tablets, then for those people it's very necessary, they keep the fast. Look, that 30 we kept in Ramadan, isn't it? So these 10, keep this, only 9, isn't it? Yes, sorry, 9. First 9 days, the 10th is obviously the day of Eid, so you cannot keep the fast. So with the Fadl of Allah, yes, and there's another point, that as the fast will increase, then the thawab will also start to increase as the days from day 1 to day 9. As you progress, I'll tell you this separately, that how much thawab is going to come in the fast. This is the initiation with the fadl of Allah. So if the initiation is so haseen and beautiful, then inshallah the final few days will become such a great, great magnitude of reward. There was one statement, he was a sahabi obviously, and he said that the point here is this, that I also desire that people are doing Hajj and they're doing all the actions, and I'm thinking if I do these few actions, then I will also be included in the du'as of those in which Hajjis will be Ghawth and Kutub Abdals. And obviously there will be Hazrat Ilyas alayhi salam and the great, great people who everyone who's included in the du'as that they're asking. Then he said that maybe I will also do good deed and be included in the du'as. And Rasulullah said that you are included in the du'as. You are included in the du'as, you have become included. So tell me, that's such a great, great news and announcement from Rasulullah. And if these 10 days we celebrate this, then will there be any doubt in our lives that we are going to Jannah? We'll be forgiven beyond forgiven. Forgiven beyond forgiven. Every man, woman, let's do dua. That Allah Ta'ala gives us all the tawfiq. And these 10 days we commemorate them, we implement them with izzah, respect and honor. Because the biggest respect and honor for these days is that in these days we don't sin. That we shut out the music, singing, TV, screens, images, lower the gazes, modesty, no immodesty, and haram, and unlawful actions, and spend these 10 days away, take all the kharafat and dirty impure things out of the house, no immodest things in the house, because this is disrespecting it, dishonoring these 10 days. then we are disgracing these 10 days. We are belittling these 10 days. Totally eliminate all the sinful things, sinful commodities, sinful resources, etc. Allah's fazl will come, mercies will come, blessings will come with the barakah of these 10 days. Then all life long, we will remove the sins. The sins will come out of our house that we can never imagine. May Allah Ta'ala give us all the tawfiq. Ameen.